By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24:3-4. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study this evening. All of us are aware of the fact that our purpose for being here is to open our hearts and minds to the wonderful Word of God. God has given us many privileges in life. One of the greatest privileges we have is to do what we're going to be doing in these next moments, and that is focusing our attention upon the eternal, wonderful Word of God. We have found ourselves in the book of Proverbs. Over the past days, I thought that the service tonight will be our last study, and I realize that I cannot leave the book of Proverbs at this stage. And so we'll have Proverbs in the first session next Sunday. Dr. Polson will be preaching in the second service, and then next Wednesday night, we're going to be dealing with the young man who found himself enticed by a profligate. Some of you may know what a profligate is. A profligate is a woman of the streets, and my wife has wondered why I would choose to preach on this, but that's next Wednesday night, so keep that in mind, please. If you choose not to be here, I can understand why. Also, I want you to know that my heart is always thrilled when people listen to the proclamation of the Word of God, and then they draw conclusions, write things, and send me sometimes pictures. This week, I received a picture that I want to put on the screen for you. You probably cannot see it very clearly, but it is a magnificent picture of a passage of Scripture that I've used many times. And before we have our prayer, I would like for you to turn, if you will, to the Gospel of John, the book of John. And we're going to be reading a few verses here that this particular picture that I have on the screen is a magnificent illustration of what I have said through the years in relationship to John chapter 10, 27 and following. If you'll look at verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them life eternal. They shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, which has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Over the years, I've illustrated this passage of Scripture by emphasizing what we call an anthropomorphism. An anthropomorphism is putting into human words a divine thought. And the divine thought that I have here is I see the Heavenly Father on the top side, reaching down toward man on the bottom side. And there's no way that a man can reach up to God. And there's a picture here of Jesus Christ reaching up on the one hand to reach the hand of God, and then reaching down to mankind, and then bringing the two together. That's the picture that I've used, and so I appreciate this particular picture being sent to me in relationship to John chapter 10, 27 and following. Now back to Proverbs 3. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our scripture reading. Proverbs chapter 3, we'll read in a few moments, beginning with verse 1, but our verses for tonight, 16 and 17. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice this evening again in the fact that we're privileged to be here. We're thankful that we have this magnificent book, the wonderful Word of God. We're thankful indeed for the fact that we live in this great time, the age of grace. Between Pentecost on the one hand and the rapture of the church on the other hand, this is a magnificent time for us to be alive. And so we're thankful for the fact that this is the time of the magnificent ministry of the Holy Spirit guiding us day by day. We are responsible for allowing the Spirit of God and the Word of God to direct us. We thank you for the fact that we are privileged to receive spiritual truths, which is wisdom from God's Word for our lives. Bless us, we pray, in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We put on the screen a definition. A proverb is a short statement that encapsulates wisdom. If you will, you might want to write this definition down. A proverb is a short statement that encapsulates wisdom. The word wisdom is a magnificent word from the Greek New Testament, which is the Greek word sophia, the word which means the application and ability to utilize the wonderful truths of God's Word. What we have emphasized in the third chapter of the book of Proverbs is finding wisdom, and I'm calling this most precious. Finding wisdom, most precious. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 16 says, long life is in her hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Proverbs 3:16 again, long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 17 says, her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. Please understand that when you come to the third chapter of the book of Proverbs, there's an emphasis upon teaching, upon wisdom, understanding God's plan. My son, first verse of chapter 3, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For a length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and in the sight of man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Verse 8 of chapter 3, it'll be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Verse 11 of chapter 3, for whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father, the son, in whom he delights. Now our verse 13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For it is profit is better than the profit of silver, and his gain than fine gold. She, truth, wisdom, is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Then our verse 16. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Verse 17, her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. Verse 18, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. Wisdom is from God, learned by studying the Bible, shaped by the Holy Spirit. What we know is that God delights to give us his thinking. He gives generously and doesn't insult you for asking. Some of you are aware of the fact that sometimes when you think in terms of what you don't know as well as what you know, you're somewhat embarrassed about what you don't know. But you must be aware of the fact that God gives generously and doesn't insult us for what we don't know, for asking. He will not send you away empty unless you're full of yourself. I've said this many times, and I repeat tonight, he will not send you away empty unless you're full of yourself. When we studied the book of James, we discovered some interesting verses of Scripture And in James chapter 1 verse 5, we find that there is an emphasis upon a deficiency that all of us may have. The deficiency in James 1 5 is the inability to utilize properly God's truth. Wisdom, as you can see on the screen, is not the product of philosophical speculation or intellectual accumulation. I'm aware of the fact that sometimes when I'm typing these thoughts out for you and when I'm giving them to you from the pulpit, I may be doing it a little too rapidly. Wisdom is not the product of philosophical speculation or intellectual accumulation. It is God's gift of the beauty of holiness. Wisdom, I'm convinced, is reasoning power. Wisdom is reasoning power. The ability to follow the best course. The art of being successful. Let's look at those thoughts again. Wisdom is reasoning power. The ability to utilize your thinking. Wisdom is the ability to have reasoning power. The ability to follow the best course of life. The art of being successful. Wisdom is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and is not found in human rational thought. I feel like that people need to hear that over and over again. Wisdom is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and not human rational thought. God provides everything we need for life and for godliness. No doubt about that. God provides everything we need for life and godliness. God provides what is necessary to face life's trials. Most of you have faced some difficulties along the way. Many of you have faced the death of a loved one. Many of you have faced various tragedies and experiences in life. God provides everything we need for life and godliness. God provides what is necessary to face life's trials. God provides the searching believer generously in grace. Please notice that I'm said here, God provides the searching believer generously in grace. Philosophy, as we've already experienced the information over past days, is made up of wisdom and love. Philosophy comes from the word philos and also sophos. And so we have philos is the word for love or rapport. And Sophia is sophos is the Greek word for wisdom. So in reality, philosophy is a rapport with the truth of God's word, wisdom. You might want to write this one down if you haven't already put it down. Philosophy is rapport with wisdom. Philos on the one hand, which is a word for love, one of the four words we know in Greek. And Sophia or sophos is the word wisdom. You'll notice that we've emphasized here that wisdom is available. God's word is available. We are blessed individuals because we have the completed canon of Scripture. We have God's wonderful book. Wisdom is available. It is the correct use of knowledge. Now that brings me to tell you that when I started doing this, I realized that I could not go through 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs in one session. And so we're going to go, if all goes well and the Lord lets us do it, we're going to go through chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. We're going to emphasize verses along the way, and we may be able to get tonight to chapter 20. If we do, that means that we'll have the last chapters, 21 to 31, on next Sunday morning. So now you know where we all have been, where we're going. And I always want you to know that as I look at each one of these sections, I could go into the passage of Scripture that covers that particular section, and I could pick a number of verses that would be outstanding. So you have to understand that while I'm doing this, you may want to take the book of Proverbs in between now and next Sunday, take those 31 chapters, and you go through each chapter and you find one verse in each chapter that rings a bell for you. I think you'd find that very interesting, Kristen. So anyway, I just want you to know that that has been done in past days, and now I'm sure some of you may want to do that. So we go to Proverbs chapter 1. Now you have your Bible open, and you're going to be looking that chapter 1. I emphasize here, it is wisdom that moves the believer. Out of all the verses in chapter 1, you'll notice that I put down one verse, and it's verse 6. We'll get to it in a few moments and read it, but I want you to see that what I've done, I've taken each chapter, chapters 1 through 20, and I pick one verse, if I could do it, and sometimes I have to pick more than one, but you'll see that we're picking a verse or verses in relationship to each of the first 20 chapters of the book of Proverbs. So, first of all, chapter 1, it is wisdom that moves the believer. Now, please notice, if you will, the first verse of chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, equity. Now, I could read on, but I have picked out, if you'll notice, verse 6, which says, to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. Very interesting verse in relationship to all of the content of the very first chapter. Chapter 1, it is wisdom that moves the believer. Chapter 2 of Proverbs, it is wisdom that drives us from disobedience. Now, I could say it is wisdom that drives us to obedience, but the emphasis throughout this second chapter has to do with what God does through His Word that drives us away from sinning against God. And we look at that in chapter 2, verse 1, and then verse 5. My son, if you will receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you, and then you'll notice that I skip down to verse 5, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Please stay with me now, and let's let you get an insight into what I'm thinking in relationship to this wonderful second chapter of the book of Proverbs. You'll notice I said here, it is wisdom that drives us from disobedience. You'll notice that it says, my son, if you will receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you. Are you seeing that? Then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. I pause for a moment on the word fear. The word fear is not emphasizing being afraid of God. The word fear here, I believe, is emphasizing the word awe, A-W-E, and respect for God. If a person has awe and respect for God, they're not going to be yielding themselves to the control of their old sinful nature. Each person in this auditorium, let me just talk about you tonight. We won't leave myself out. I'll include myself. Each one of us here in this auditorium has an old sinful nature. And you and I have a decision to make many, many times every single day that we live, whether we're going to be under the control of our sinful nature or we're going to be under the control of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. You cannot use what you do not know. That's the reason why we study the Word of God, because when we study the Word of God, knowing what God's Word says, then we're able to utilize those truths which are in the Word so that when a problem comes our way, a difficulty comes our way, a test comes our way, a trial comes our way, we can begin to utilize truths from God's Word. And that is the result of having awe and respect for our Heavenly Father. So Proverbs chapter 2, it's wisdom then that drives us from disobedience. Verse 1 of this second chapter and verse 5 are the two verses I selected. Now we go to Proverbs chapter 3. You'll notice that I took a caption here. It is wisdom that gives joy and peace and security. Now you can see that I couldn't take just one verse. I couldn't even take two verses. And I wanted to take more than three, but I felt like that we would be spending the whole time reading the chapters. So I'm looking now at chapter 3, verse 13, verse 16, 17. If you will, please, let's go to chapter 3, and you'll go, oh, I have to do this. Look at verse 13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Now, or yes, I did. I put that one down, didn't I? Because I felt like it was necessary for you to see. And you have your Bible? Look at it, please. How blessed is the man, the woman, boy or girl, who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Then glance down at verse 16. Have you heard this one before? I really believe you have because we put it on the screen earlier. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Verse 17. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. If you'll go now to chapter 4 of Proverbs, you'll see that my caption is, it is wisdom that gives good judgment and gives common sense. There's something that all of us need, and that is common sense. It is wisdom, then, that gives us good judgment, and it is wisdom that gives us common sense. In chapter 4, we find this in verses 6 and 7. Do not forsake her, wisdom. She will guide you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. You see how unique this passage is? So we have then in chapter 4, it's wisdom that gives good judgment and common sense. Let's go to chapter 5 of Proverbs. It is wisdom that guards the young man from the prostitute. Now, you'll notice that I had to put several verses here, but I want you to see that when you're looking at Proverbs chapter 5, we'll read the first six verses. My son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may observe discretion, and your lips may reserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. Now, I'm going to get into this next Wednesday night, just a little bit more in detail, but I want you to see how unique these verses are. It says, first of all, and you'll notice back in verse 1, it says, my son, give attention to my wisdom. Then you'll notice that it says that you may observe, in verse 2, discretion, and that your lips may receive knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. But the end is, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Notice, if you will, verse 5. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold on Sheol. And then verse 6. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways are unstable. She does not know it. Now, this is an interesting passage of Scripture having to do with his wisdom that guards the young man from the profligate, from the prostitute. In verses 1 through 6 of chapter 5. When we go to Proverbs chapter 6, we find some interesting facts indeed. Wisdom gives warnings. There are a number of different warnings found in chapter 6. Warnings in relationship to business obligations, hypocrisy, haughtiness, lying, troublemaking, disobedience to parents, illegitimate love, all of these things you'll notice, and I could put others down here, but you'll see that wisdom presents warnings to us in Proverbs chapter 6. If you will, please, let's go to verse 32 and verse 33. And this is chapter 6, 32. The one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. Now, you didn't expect me to read all this to you tonight. Some of you are paying attention now. But let's notice. The one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. He who would destroy himself does it. Now, I've read for you 32 and 33. You're wanting to read more. Please don't read on. I'm taking you to the next chapter. I know that sometimes when I get into verses, you just want to stop listening to me and keep reading. But please don't do that. Proverbs chapter 7. It says here, flee loose women. Now, I didn't know exactly how to say this, but I felt like that you folks would be able to take it, and so I put it down, flee loose women. This is the passage of Scripture which we'll be analyzing more in detail next Wednesday night. Judging from Proverbs chapter 5, 6, and 7, these three chapters, the amount of space that Solomon devoted to the subject, there must have been a lot of immoral females in the vicinity. And I find that in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7. You want to turn that? That's the next book we'll be studying, the book of Ecclesiastes. But if you go to Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, and glance down at verse 28, you will find a very, very unique passage of Scripture. This is Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 28, in the light of the passage of Scripture that I've given you, Proverbs, chapter 7. It says, behold, I've discovered this, says the preacher, adding one thing to another to find an explanation, which I am still seeking, but have not found. I have found one man among a thousand, but I have not found a woman among all of these. Now, some of you caught that. I'm telling you, this is unique. What we have just emphasized is, when you look at Proverbs chapter 5, chapter 6, and now chapter 7, the amount of space that Solomon devoted to this particular subject of getting away from loose women, there must have been a lot of immoral females. And I've given you the passage of Scripture, and I read it for you, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 28. Now, don't keep on reading chapter 7, please. Go to chapter 8 and go to chapter 9. In these two chapters, wisdom is personified by a wholesome lady, contrasted to a lustful woman. Notice I didn't say lady the second time. Wisdom personified by a wholesome lady on the one hand, contrasted to a lustful woman on the other hand. And this is presented to us in chapter 9, and we begin our reading with verse 13. If you will, please notice verse 13 of chapter 9. Are you there? I'm almost at the point where I need to do like Les Feldick does. I need to stop and wait till you get there. But anyway, let's look at it. Verse 13 of chapter 9. The woman of folly is boisterous. She is naive and literally knows nothing. She sits at the doorway of her house on a seat by the high places of the city, calling to those who pass by, who are making their paths straight. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks understanding, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guest are in the depths of Sheol. Do I need to read this over about five or six times for us to be able to understand what this is saying? This is emphasizing, and we find it here in chapter 8 and now here in chapter 9, that wisdom personified by the means of a wholesome lady on the one hand, contrasted to a lustful woman on the other hand. Chapter 9, 13 through 18. We must move along, Proverbs chapter 10. In this chapter, we find wise men, and we find fools. We find an emphasis upon righteousness and wickedness. We find an emphasis upon being diligent and lazy. We have an emphasis upon rich and poor. all found in Proverbs chapter 10, plus a lot of other things. But I'm turning in my Bible now to chapter 10. I'm beginning to read, beginning with verse 1. We'll read five verses. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is grief to his mother. Would you pause with me and see how profound these scriptures are? A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. Ill-gotten gains do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord will not allow the righteous to hunger, but he will thrust aside the craving of the wicked. Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of a diligent individual makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a son who acts wisely, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who acts shamefully. Uniquely presented to us, isn't it? In chapter 10, the first five verses which we've read, wise men we see and foolish men we see. We see those who emphasize righteousness on the one hand and wickedness on the other. We see those who are diligent. We see those who are lazy. We see those who are rich on the one hand, those who are poor on the other hand. We find it beautifully presented to us in chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. We're making our way through the first 20 chapters. I trust we'll be able to make it before the night is over. We're looking now at Proverbs chapter 11. If you'll notice, it says, a beautiful woman without discretion is like a jewel in a swine's snout. Now, that's unusual, isn't it? Okay, let's stay with it for a few moments. A beautiful woman. But the beautiful woman is without discretion. She does not make wise decisions. As a result, it's like a jewel in a swine's snout. We find that in this chapter, chapter 11, in verses 16, 17, 25 to 28. Now let's look, please, at these verses. I have them marked so I can go to them rapidly. Let's go to verse 16. A gracious woman attains honor, and violent men attain riches. That's verse 16. Verse 17, the merciful man does himself good, but the cruel man does himself harm. Now, if you will, skip down to verse 25. We're reading 25 to 28. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. He who withholds grain, the people will curse him, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. He who diligently seeks good seeks favor, but he who searches after evil, it will come to him. And then our last verse in this passage here, he who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like the green leaf. That takes us to Proverbs chapter 12, which emphasizes a worthy woman is the glory of her husband. How beautiful in the first four verses of chapter 12. What it says is, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. Now, I want you to know that I'm reading the Bible, and I'm reading it just like I have it here. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. Verse 2 of chapter 12, a good man will obtain favor from the Lord, but he will condemn a man who devises evil. A man will not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous will not be moved. Now notice verse 4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who shames him is as rottenness in his bones. You talk about picturesque and unique. I won't say any more about it. I could preach on each one of these verses. But in Proverbs chapter 12, we have an emphasis upon a worthy woman is the glory of her husband. Verses 1 through 4 of chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 13. Guard your mouth and know that when walking with the wise, there's a great possibility that you will be wiser. That's chapter 13, verses 1 through 6. Did you notice? When I started off, I said I'll pick one verse for each chapter. Then as I moved along, I got to saying more verses. And you notice that there was a time when I was almost tempted to say, let's read all the verses of every chapter. But we couldn't do that. Now, chapter 13. Guard your mouth and know that when walking with the wise, there's a great possibility that you're going to be wiser. Notice now verses 1 through 6 of chapter 13. A wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. From the fruit of a man's mouth, he enjoys good, but the desire of the treacherous is violence. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. Verse 5, a righteous man hates falsehood, but a wicked man acts disgustingly and shamefully. Verse 6, righteousness guards the one whose way is blameless, but wickedness subverts the sinner. We've seen now chapter 13. We read verses 1 through 6. That takes us to chapter 14. When you get angry, you're going to act foolishly. I want to pause for a moment and let you think about that. When you lose your temper, when you get mad, when you're angry, you're going to act very foolishly. Now, I didn't say that, did I? I believe you find that in the first three verses of chapter 14. The wise man builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is crooked in his ways despises him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will preserve him. When you're angry, you will act foolishly. Now let's move to chapter 15. This is an interesting passage of Scripture in verses 1 through 5. A soft answer turns away wrath, and a gentle tongue is the tree of life. We're in chapter 15. We're reading the first five verses. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Can I look at that with you for a little bit and let it soak in for all of us? A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Verse 2, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. We are in Proverbs 15. Verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and watching the good. I pause with you for a moment and let you see something. It matters not where you go. It matters not what you say. It matters not what you think. God is fully aware of what you say, what you think, what you do. No matter where you go, no matter what you're thinking, no matter what your activity is, don't ever forget, God knows all about it. That's what we find here. It says, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his back. No, wait a minute, I'm in the wrong chapter. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. Verse 3. This is the emphasis I wanted to give. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching evil, watching the good. Verse 4 of chapter 15, a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. Verse 5, a fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is prudent. That's chapter 15. We're moving along quite rapidly. We're doing fine. Proverbs chapter 16. We can choose or allow God to direct our steps. I want you to see what I'm thinking here. The emphasis is upon man's volition. Your volition, man, woman, child. You and I can choose on the one hand, or we can allow God to direct our steps. We find that so beautifully emphasized in this 16th chapter, in verse 3, verse 5, verse 18, and all the way from 24 to 28. So we're going to read. Look, if you will, at verse 3 of chapter 16. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. We could read it like this. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. Interesting, isn't it? Now, if you will, look at verse 5. Everyone who is proud in his heart is an abomination to the Lord. Assuredly, he will not be unpunished. Look, if you will, down to verse 18. Pride goes before destruction. Pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit before stumbling. That's Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Now glance down to verse 24. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. There's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. A worker's appetite works for him, for his hunger urges him on. A worthless man digs up evil, while his words are as a scorching fire. Verse 28, a perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. We can choose, or we can allow God to choose our steps. You'll notice that it emphasizes here that pride always goes before destruction. That takes us to Proverbs chapter 17, which I tried to think about this chapter, and I put down these words, following a fool brings sorrow. Following a fool, foolish individuals who do not respond properly to God and God's word, God's plan, following a fool brings sorrow. On the other hand, a cheerful heart is good medicine. And you'll find that in chapter 17. And go down, if you will, please, to verse, verse 22, which says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Proverbs chapter 17, following a fool brings sorrow. On the other hand, a cheerful heart is good medicine. Let's go to chapter 18. And I put down a little caption here and got so carried away that you'll notice that I tried to just break it up a little bit. I put down a number of verses, 4 through 8. The mouth can be so dangerous since death and life are in the power of the tongue. If you will, please go to chapter 18. Let's begin with verse 4. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. To show partiality to the wicked is not good, nor to trust aside the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost part of the body. To show you how much I get carried away in doing this, I even failed to skip a line to go to chapter 19. I put it right in the same line. Did you notice? So I'm showing you now chapter 19, A foolish son brings heartache. Let's look, if we will, at chapter 19. We're going to look at a few verses here. The first one is verse 13, which says, a foolish son is destruction to his father, and the contentiousness and the contentions of a wife are a constant dripping. We talked about this last Sunday, if you remember. And then you notice in verse 15, laziness cast into a deep sleep, an idle man will suffer hunger. Then down to verse 20, listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. When I analyze that passage of Scripture, I realize that it is a powerful passage indeed. And I'll come back to reiterate that passage at a later message. But I want you to see again verse 20. Listen to counsel. Listen to the Word of God. Be willing to allow God to accept, for you to accept discipline. In other words, when He spanks, you accept it properly. Do something about it. Chapter 20 says, a foolish son brings heartache. Verse 13, a lazy person suffers hunger. Verse 15, a wise person listens to instruction, accepts reproof. Verse 20, and lives a good long life. And that brings us to chapter 20, which says, a father can have great influence. There's no doubt about the fact that you as a father have the responsibility of having the proper influence upon your children. A father can have great influence. I look down to verse 7 of chapter 20. A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. You might want to highlight that one. If you're a dad, you ought to really highlight it. A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. And then if you'll move down to verse 15, there is gold and an abundance of jewels, but the lips of knowledge are a more precious thing. No matter how much a person may have, as far as the world's goods, there's not anything that compares to what God has for all of us. We've made our way through 20 chapters. That means that I'll have a fun time next Sunday morning in dealing with chapter 11 through 30, chapter 21 through 31, the last chapters of the book of Proverbs. May we pray together, please. Thank you, Father, for this time together. Thank you for your wonderful word. For all the many challenges that we receive as we open our minds and our hearts to these magnificent truths, we realize that the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. We are responsible for receiving spiritual truths every single day of our lives, that we might find ourselves as happy, radiant, triumphant, victorious believers. You've given us life. You've given us eternal life. You're now giving us some time. We do not know just how much more time we all have, but you're giving us one day at a time. Help us to realize that if we're here again in the morning, that you have a purpose and a plan for our existence, and we are to utilize truth and find ourselves walking in the pathway of righteousness. For those who hear this message who are unbelievers, who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, help them to be able to say that the Scripture says, he that has the Son, Jesus Christ, has life, but he that does not have the Son does not have life. This beautifully presents to us the fact that there's only one way of salvation, and that's faith alone in Christ alone. The Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. We do not know who is listening at this moment, but we're aware of the fact that the Spirit of God can take these Scriptures and sink them deep into the hearts and minds of the individuals who are hearing them. Help them to see today that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. knowing that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. Help the individuals to be able to see that the greatest decision that they'll ever make in life is to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. We realize again that the Scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't say hope so or maybe so. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you tell the truth, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.